All right. Well, call to order the Tanakiri Beach Historic Preservation Commission for Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. The first item on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda?
Make a motion, we adopt.
Second.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next item is adoption of the minutes. So just take a chance to look, and everybody has seen the minutes, I believe, but just if there's any changes.
Yeah, I just have one comment, Beth. For the approval of the January minutes, there are two motions, two seconds, and two votes.
That's correct.
There were?
You did two motions in your meeting.
Oh, so you looked at twice. Okay.
Okay, is there a motion to adopt the minutes?
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is public comment. Any public comment? Anybody online for public comment?
Not sure.
Nope. Okay. All right, next item is old business. First item probably is not going to take very long. It's the finalization, and we'll put that in quotes because it might not be finalized, the address list for the historic property owner's letter. If you remember last time, we talked about the list, I believe, that that you gave, right?
Yeah.
To us, okay, for the barracks. And I mentioned that we did have a list that my research associate did when we put together the Historic Preservation Commission proposal. So I went through that and pulled out the ones that were pre-1972. You know, it's a 50-year is what is defined as historic for the purposes of plaques. And I believe that was sent to everybody. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. However, and that's actually a pretty good list. I mean, I was surprised. And that and all that information has been checked with the deeds. So we know that that's pretty good information there. And I didn't include the ones that were post-1972. We have a number of other properties, obviously, in Curie Beach that are certainly pre-1972, cottages and so forth. So this would be my suggestion before we finalize it. I have a couple high school students that have to do a service thing for their high school, and they've contacted me to see if there's something that they could do for the town. And I was thinking that maybe a really good project for them, because they have to do service hours, you know, to graduate and stuff like that. A really good project would be to just drive around the non-B1 district and just identify older-looking houses and then check the deeds. The other thing I did, which I said I would do, is contact the historic group, and they do not have a list. In fact, they even pointed out that the barracks list is from the memory of Bunky Curie. So they weren't even sure about that because they haven't checked the deeds on those. But they did not have a list, and they were all excited about us trying to get a list and check the deeds and all that sort of thing.
Well, they don't check the deeds until the owners want the plaque.
Want the plaque. So what I would suggest is that we put this on next month's agenda, but if it's okay with the commission, I could let the two high school students know that they could drive around here and identify properties and then look up the deeds, and I know what the rules on that are.
Are we going to have a meeting next month?
This was going to be our last meeting.
But
take that task offline. Like, do we have to have a meeting for that? Can we just?
I mean, we could do it. I mean, once we identify the properties, we've agreed upon the letter.
Right.
So we could certainly send it out to what the properties we've already identified on the B1 district, and then over the next month or so, if it's okay, I could have those people work on it. And if they identify other properties, we could just, ask Beth or somebody to send a letter. But again, just very quickly, we did talk about at the last council meeting whether we have regular meetings or not, and I believe that's what you want to talk about.
No, sir.
No. All right. Well, let me talk about that. What is the rule?
Before we leave the students, at a minimum, they would need to sign a waiver and hold harmless agreement.
I don't see them having any problem with that. I mean, I can check with them if that's okay. Now, we've had students do work before, I think, for the town, haven't we? This is not an internship. This is just some students doing service, getting service hours.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to sign a waiver. Obviously, street addresses are public, and the property records are public.
It's all public information.
But beyond that, they won't be able to use a town vehicle or golf cart.
I don't think they would do that.
If there's any accident, I mean, the waiver would have to cover any accidents or anything, or their own, not ours.
And I need a little lead time to draft it.
Okay, that's fine.
How old are they?
High school students, 16, juniors in high school, 17.
17? Mm-hmm. Is there an issue with being under 18?
Their parents would need to sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But I know they do service things. They've done service things for the fort and, you know, all that sort of thing, too. So they've, I mean, service type of projects are pretty common, I think. Okay.
Yeah, we just have to cover the liability of the town.
Because I don't think anybody here on the commission wants to drive around and spend hours looking at deeds.
And I somebody did would want already. To do.
Oh, you did?
I went with Punky.
Oh, okay, okay.
So do you think y'all, I mean,
and
is there
so
more?
Did John Batson.
Yeah. But we don't have any other list for the older properties outside the B1 district and the barracks, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And John would know, I think, if there was one out there.
Okay. If that's okay, I can let the students know that they could do that, but they would have to sign a waiver, and our attorney would put together the waiver. And what, it might be a month or so before you do that?
Let's have a motion by the commission authorizing you to go forward.
Is there such a motion? Is that okay? Just so we get a list?
Do we need to take it to council and get council approval? Mm,
council likes to weigh in on these.
So we could put it on our agenda, our council.
Okay.
For March.
March 21st.
And then they could give him direction, because it is a fee. There is a fee associated with it, so we would need to get that approved too. Let them weigh in on it, make that decision March 21st, give him the go-ahead. He can draft the waiver, and then we can move forward from there. That way we cover all of our bases.
Don't we have, because I know we've had my intern, we've had the intern working for this. Didn't we have kind of a standardized... I mean, I've had at least four interns working for the Planning and Zoning Commission Historic District on course projects. So
I wasn't the clerk then. I don't know how the process went, but I do think we should take it to council.
Yeah, I mean that's fine.
Okay.
So you know I guess the first motion would be that do we want to send a letter to our existing list that we have from the B1 district and then from the barracks.
Yeah, the way it was rewritten.
Yeah, I mean, we approved. Okay, all right. So I'll go ahead and make that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And then the next motion, if you need it, is to take the request to have the student, they're not interns, the high school students that want to do get service credit.
Community service.
Yeah, it's basically community service, to take that to council.
Yeah, just a couple.
So I'll make that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, so now the other question from Mr. Eldridge is whether we have formal meetings or not for the historic. We thought we did not, but I believe we had a conversation at the town council that suggested that we do have formal monthly meetings.
By statute, you have to establish a regular meeting schedule and post it. A cancellation of those regular meetings, I don't think, is a big hassle, because that's what happens with Board of Adjustment on a frequent basis. So you've got a regular schedule. It's just a question of canceling the meetings and following whatever procedure staff wants you to follow with respect to the same.
Okay. If we do that, we've held our meetings for the HPC at 6 o'clock and then our planning and zoning at 6:30. Would we want to reverse it and maybe hold our P&Z at 6, because there's a good chance we'll be canceling a lot of the HPC meetings. And then if we have an HPC, then hold it afterwards. Is that something we can do?
That might not be a bad idea, because if we have an HPC, it's probably going to go more than 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I guess that's a motion, too, that we'll
change the times
to P&Z to 6 o'clock.
No, that would be at your P&Z meeting.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
So we just need to change the time. So for like 40 minutes, we're going to have an overlap.
Yes.
Okay. So the motion is to change the time for HPC to follow at 6:30 or following the future P&Z meetings.
Yes.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. I guess the next item is the mock quasi-judicial COA hearing.
Good. My role, I'm going to wear multiple hats tonight. The main hat I'm going to wear is that of the applicant, because, and if need be, I'll facilitate and I'll also play my advisory role if need be, as I would normally in a HPC hearing. But mainly, I want to avoid those things unless it's necessary, because I want to see how you all as a body respond to what's coming your way. That's the first matter. The second matter is, go ahead and familiarize yourself with this. It's primarily for the chairman. It's called an order of business. You'll get one of these for every quasi-judicial hearing that you have. And really, it will be the same in each instance, but for the particular hearing, which is in bold on number 2, bold on number 3, and also all the red ink will disappear, but this will be what you get each time. Chairman, this will be your script to follow. And then the third thing is a disclaimer. What follows is fiction. Any resemblance to living persons or entities, living or dead, is merely coincidental. And if you all are ready, then I'll turn it over. Well, make sure you read that order of business that you want.
I do have a question. It says the chairman swears in the witness. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything.
Witnesses.
What is the witnesses? I don't have any script for swearing people in.
Well, at the hearing, at an actual hearing.
There would be a script then?
Okay,
all right. Okay, and using the decision worksheet.
Don't get ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. All righty, so.
I've got one for you, and you'll get one each time you have a quasi-judicial hearing. Okay. Another difference is in a typical quasi-judicial hearing, after you swear in the witnesses, usually staff will go first, which I assume will be Mr. Batson, presenting a summary of the application without a recommendation. No, can't recommend what you all would decide one way or another, but his testimony would be sworn testimony as well. Any documents associated with the summary would be an exhibit to the record. So, Chairman, when you're ready, you can call the hearing.
Okay, well, I guess we'll call the hearing. Officially, this is a hearing on the application for a certificate of appropriateness, or a COA, submitted by Mr. Charles O. Abernathy for the property located at 123 Fantasy Lane in the Downtown Preservation Overlay District. Before we get started here, just want to make sure that there's a conflict of interest that we have to make sure that there's no problems with the commission. So do any members of the commission have any conflicts of interest with respect to Mr. Abernathy's application?
No.
At this point, we don't know, should we have more information in order to determine?
No, you've got enough information. You've got...
All I know is the property and the name of the...
Well, normally you would... yeah, that's true. So we can adjust that next time. This is a... You'll see the... Well, let's just go ahead and hand it out now and you can look at it. Chairman, can I approach?
Yes.
Normally this would all be digital as well, but for training purposes, I have hard copies. Ms. Zielinski raises a good point. She doesn't know if she has a conflict until
She knows what's going on. Although I think you could also base it primarily on Mr. Abernathy, but you do need the address and what he's trying to do.
Now, one of the other things that I would do, I was thinking about this before I came over, is...
Now, Chairman, I just want to remind you, we're in a hearing.
Yes, but what I was going to say is that I was going to make an announcement because we probably have folks here that are not familiar with the quasi-judicial hearing. So what I would do is make an announcement that this is probably a little bit different than what a normal presentation would be to the town council or planning and zoning. And we have to go through a quasi-legal type of process. And so you're going to see that there's components that sound like a trial, but this is required by law. So I would put in that just to provide that information. So, all right, first thing is to see if there what parties of standing are here and present.
Well, let's stop for a minute. Let's go ahead and go back to the conflict since you now have the information.
Oh, okay, I thought... I'm sorry. Is there any conflict?
No.
No.
Nope. Okay. So the next item after my little introductory statement is to see what parties are here that are of standing. And again, this is part of the quasi-judicial process where the parties are the applicant and or his attorneys or representatives.
I'm going to interrupt again. I don't think you want to inquire about standing at this stage. All you're going to do is say all those who are interested in testifying and presenting evidence in front of this commission, let's swear you in as witnesses.
Okay, all those that are interested in testifying or presenting information, please identify yourself and we will have a process of swearing in.
You go ahead and identify yourselves and we'll just pretend we swore them in. But go ahead and identify yourselves. Charles O. Abernathy. At 123 Fantasy Lane, I'm the applicant. I'll be presenting my case without a legal representative.
Okay. Is there anybody else?
Me.
Oh. Okay.
I'm Lucinda Cinder.
Who?
Lucinda Cinder.
Lucinda.
And I live at 127 Fantasy Lane. I am 2 houses down from him.
I'm Gertrude Pollywog, and I live at 7400 Righteous Way.
Righteous Lane?
Righteous Way. I changed it.
And Miss Pollywog, is that it? What is your first name?
Gertrude.
Gertrude Pollywog. Same name as my grandmother.
You were right. Chairman, I'd like you to get a little more control over this meeting.
Okay. Okay, you have now sworn in. So, let's see. Okay, so the next item is Mr. Abernathy. Can you...
Number two, call the case.
I'm sorry, what?
Number two, call your case. Bold text. Paragraph number two?
He did already.
He did already.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I think we're down to number six now. So this is where I...
All right. I'll take it over.
Okay.
No, we missed the building inspector.
It says that? Five.
No, it says we're going to skip that.
Yeah, we're going to skip the building inspector.
I don't have an interesting name.
No, we would have come up with one. thank you, Commission members. I appreciate the opportunity to present my case. You've got an application there in front of you that I printed off the website and filled in. Essentially, I understand that if I'm going to change any exterior features on my residential structure, I need a certificate of appropriateness. You'll see from the application that what I intend to do is remove the white wooden siding, which got an extensive amount of water rot on it, needs to be replaced. I'm going to replace it with vinyl siding in a shape pattern and in the light blue color. And I take the position that that is in conformity with your design standards and your review criteria
in your downtown preservation overlay district regulations. It's a pale blue color, kind of a pario blue color. I don't think there'll be any objection to that, but I did bring along some information that I'll like entered into the record as, in addition to my application as, which I would like to label as Exhibit A. Please take this document as Exhibit B, Historic Paint Colors of Charleston. It's my understanding that the Cape Fear area is the northern end of the Low Country. The Low Country, which extends from Cape Fear down through the Brunswick, Georgia Island and Savannah. So I think a color that is appropriate for the Low Country would also be appropriate for the preservation district. And in this case, if you, it goes by different colors. Again, I've called it Tar Heel Blue. But if you look at the first page here, Paint Blue is also a historic paint color for Charleston. If you turn to the second page of the exhibit, actually this would be Exhibit A. The application probably came in with the building inspector's report. Paint blue at the bottom of Exhibit A. This pale aqua shade is now seen all over the South, but its roots can be traced back to the gullet culture of the South Carolina Lowcountry. Traditionally used for ceilings, its name refers to spirits in gullet culture that are believed to be warded off with the color blue, though the reasoning for this varies. It's interesting, from a personal standpoint, and I'll offer this as testimony in support of my application. You all know the carriage ride from downtown Wilmington. I took one of those one time, and we were going through, I forget what street it was, but it was in the historic district. And the tour operator said, pointed out you could see underneath the porch, the ceiling was a light blue. And he asked whether anybody on the carriage ride knew why that was a popular color in the historic district, and his answer was that it kept birds from nesting in there under your porch. They would look at that ceiling as if it was the sky and feel exposed. I'll tell you further that the top of my porch is white, and I always have a problem with house wrens making nests in my...
excuse me, Mr. Abernathy.
That's my testimony, ma'am.
Yeah, I think we have to let him finish the testimony, then we'll open...
You can ask me questions if you want, that's my understanding, but I certainly want my constitutional right of presenting my case. Are you
and
biased,
I do not want to
are
stand
you biased and prejudiced to this application?
No, I certainly am not, Mr. Abernathy, but I was just noticing in our design standards, you gave us blue for the Low Country, and I, you know, I'm really enjoying your background and all your explanation, but our design standards state that the color of the house should be in harmony with the surrounding area in the historic district. So
that's
our
right.
Focus needs to be on the historic district in Keary Beach. As much as I enjoy all of the background you're giving us, but please continue.
Well, commission member, if you want to deliberate that decision that you're all going to reach prior to actually having all the evidence in front of you, I would challenge that as a violation of my opportunity to be heard to present evidence. Now, if you want to wait on that legitimate question until it's time for the commission to consider all the evidence and make a decision and its findings of fact, then that's fine. I understand that. But I would ask you to let me continue.
Yeah, I mean,
I welcome you to.
If that's okay with the commission, we'll just go ahead and let the applicant do the full presentation. Then we'll open it up for questions, because I have a couple questions too. So.
I appreciate that opportunity. I'm also going to present Exhibit B. This is from the online edition of Cottage and Bungalow. It's titled Four Beautiful Beach House Color Schemes to Inspire a Refresh. Again, this is my Exhibit B in support of my application to put pale blue siding on my house, on my residential structure.
Okay.
Ms. Zielinski, do you even want to look at this, or is your mind already made up?
Oh, no, not at all. As I said, I really am enjoying all this
much.
Background
appreciate
information.
It sounds pretty sarcastic to me. I hope the core reporter is capturing the true tone of Ms. Zielinski's comments. Chairman, if you could ask the Lucinda not to keep interrupting.
Oh, yes, okay. There has to be, you know, let's go ahead and let the applicant do a full presentation. Everybody will have an opportunity to talk and respond, okay?
If you go to page 2 of Exhibit B, when it comes to popular beach house color schemes, you can never go wrong with lots and lots of blue. I have one more exhibit that I would like to present. It's not the true color blue that I'd be putting on, but this will be exhibit BD. This is a good illustration of the vinyl shakes that I want to put up. It's not pale blue, so my color would be a pale blue, but this is what it would look like.
Is this from the historic district or is this something else?
This is something else.
Okay.
This is illustrative. Just so you have an idea of what my vinyl siding would look like. You're mean. Excuse me. That's not for the record. Strike that from the record. That's essentially it. On my COA application, rather than incurred, you know, COA applications and quasi-judicial decisions about them are tricky because the test for your district is not whether what I want to do matches the district, but is consistent with the character, the look, and the feel of the district. And unlike a variance or a special use permit, that type of test, whether I'm going to get the COA or not, is not inclined towards expert testimony. What I've tried, rather than spend $5,000 or $10,000 on an expert that's going to tell you what these documents that you have in front of you tell you, it's my contention that pale blue siding, as seen often in Charleston and other low country, and we're in the low country up here, is consistent with the look and feel of the historic district. Doesn't have to match the color scheme, but it certainly isn't a bright orange or purple or alternating stripes. I think it's very consistent with the look and feel of the district. And that's really all that I've got to present on my certificate of application submission. But I want to be a good neighbor even to people like Lucinda. And so I'm going to be open and transparent with you. I've got two other changes that I'm making to my property, but I feel they are not subject to the downtown preservation overlay district regulations at all. They don't involve structures. They don't involve exterior features. And I'll remind the board at this point that, and please don't take this as a threat, but as I'm sure your town attorney has told you, if you act beyond the scope of your authority, I can take that decision to Superior Court for judicial review. And if I can prove that you acted beyond your authority, I'm going to be entitled to attorney's fees, not maybe, but shall, under a statute adopted 2 years ago. So I would caution you to proceed carefully on how you handle the next two things I'm going to show you. This will be exhibit C. I intend to put an asphalt coat
Okay, let's go ahead and stop there, because I think you made a point that this is not subject to the COA process that is before us right now. So perhaps we shouldn't see this. This might bias the commission. So I don't think it's appropriate that we see this, because you've already identified this as not part of the particular application.
You might think differently once you see it.
I still think that that's something that we should not see.
Under our code and under the statutes, I'm allowed to bring new issues before you. So this is a new issue.
Okay, before we go through, I'd like to get advice from our attorney on this.
I would entertain it. I would entertain it.
You would entertain it? Okay, that's fine.
Because, so, look, if you don't, on, hey, if you don't, and then I come back and I start doing my thing, and code enforcement comes out and says, hey, you can't do that. You don't have a COA. What do you think I'm going to do in my appeal? My appeal is going to be that I brought it before the COA, but they didn't even want to see it. I think it opens up
some
risk.
Well, on advice of attorney, we'll go ahead and look at it.
Doesn't the COA go through John initially?
For minor work, not major work. Major work comes before you all.
It still all gets funneled through my office.
Right. Yeah, it comes to him.
But again, you know, on the advice of the attorney, we're going to go ahead and look at this, but you've already identified this as not part of the COA application. And we don't have any...
And you're going to take my word?
Well, I was going to say, we don't have advice from the building inspector regarding this. So, you know, just for the record.
Look, stop interruption. Building inspector is not in charge of COA decisions in a quasi-judicial proceeding. You all are.
Right.
This is the other change that I want to make to my property. I want to erect an exact replica.
Now, by the way, was that the attorney speaking or the applicant?
That was me talking to you.
Okay.
This is, I want to put an exact replica of this Virginia Dare statue in my front yard. And again, I take the position this is not an exterior feature that is subject to the COA process.
All right, order, Lucinda.
Hold it. I've got another one. That's the front view. This is the back view. So again, I'm just trying to be transparent and nip any issues in the bud, so to speak.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Mr. Abernathy.
Okay, let's get some order here.
Excuse me, Mr. Abernathy.
Yes, ma'am.
May I have a copy of that too?
Oh, you didn't get the reverse.
Honey, you don't want to say it. It ain't
pretty. I think it's beautiful.
Okay, so
it's historical too. This Virginia, do y'all know who Virginia Dare is?
I do now.
She's the first white child born in a North American continent in 1584.
Was it Jamestown, wasn't it?
No,
it was
Roanoke Island.
Yeah, Roanoke Island, that's right.
1584, Manio.
That's right. Okay. All right. Okay, based upon the...
That's my presentation, and I take a position that those matters are not covered by the COA. Some people may feel differently about that.
Okay, so based upon the advice of the attorney, we have now been given two other items that we will discuss or consider in the context of this application. Just for the record, I want to make sure, and I think you have identified this, that you don't have any other witnesses or experts that will testify in your behalf right now. Okay. All right. All right. This time, let's go ahead and open it up to commission members if there are any.
Look at your agenda.
Oh.
Number 7.
Okay. This does not. Let me ask the attorney then. At what time can we ask questions?
Well, You can ask questions of me.
Well, that's what I expected, yeah. So that's what I'm referring to.
I
is that
since you didn't ask any questions during my presentation.
No, we were going to let you have a full opportunity to present because, again, you were a tad offended at one of the commission members' questions during the presentation. So,
probably are smart to do that.
Yeah, so this is the appropriate time for any commission members to ask any questions of the applicant. And after that, we'll hear from any opposition parties, and then we'll have questions there, too. And there might be kind of general questions that come out of that. But anyway, this is the opportunity for commission members to ask any questions. And let's just keep it at questions now, not observations.
Chairman, I should say that I've commissioned the artist, Miss Earl Gray, to create a replica of that statue. That statue's in the Elizabethan Gardens on Roanoke Island, but I love it so much, I've commissioned Earl Gray to create an exact replica.
Oh, okay, very good.
Can she put a dress on it?
Chairman, okay. Again, you can control Lucinda.
Let's keep some order here. So.
Might have to call the police.
Greg, may I ask a question?
Yes, go. Yeah, go. So go.
Given that you felt that the latter two items that you presented to us did not need the COA formal process, have they still been submitted to our building inspector for review?
No. But the building inspector is not going to pass along an opinion. You all are the be-all and the end-all for this application. He's not allowed to present an opinion. That would be impartiality on his part prior to the presentation of evidence and testimony. I have a right for you all to be an impartial decision-maker. If staff comes to you ahead of time with an opinion that I'm either right or wrong, that's a violation of my constitutional right.
Okay, I'm going to ask an opinion of the attorney, or because we have before us a very specific application for the COA. And the application for the COA has to do with the siting. There's another issue that's embedded into this application, which has to do with both the statue as well as the paving, as to whether that is covered under the design requirements and the COA process. And we don't have an application, and so the building inspector was not able to comment or provide us anything. So I'm going to ask the attorney, what would be the appropriate process? Should we just look at the siding and then have a decision about whether the other two items are covered under the COA application? Because they are two different things.
I think you would, again, talking to you all as the attorney, I think, first of all, your quasi-judicial procedures provision in the code allows for the presentation of new issues. Now, it also allows for you to continue the hearing if the surprise issues are resulting in prejudice. These issues are not resulting in prejudice. I think that you need to, and I'm a lay person. Charles Abernathy is not a lawyer. He's a lay person. He's interpreting the code as he sees fit, but he's kind of a good guy because he's trying to be open and transparent about this.
And he uses a lot of legal terminology, too.
Well, I did some Googling before I came
okay.
Charles Abernathy did. I think that you need to consider it for two reasons. One, or maybe three, it's coming to you. And I think it's a little bit arbitrary just to cut it off. Now, maybe that helps me, Charles Abernathy, if you don't consider it. But it leaves open the possibility that somebody in the district, one of these two ladies, or perhaps somebody else who felt very strongly that it was covered by the design standards and by the regulations. Therefore, you've created an issue for yourself and for the town if you don't consider it. I think it's a safer course to say, look, Mr. Abernathy's raised these issues. The question before the commission is whether they are included within the scope of the overlay district regs or not. And if they're included within the scope, should we approve those additions as well as the siding that he's talking about? I think that's a conservative way and the best practices way to mitigate against risk management by arbitrarily concluding that you're not going to hear it at all.
Okay. So based upon the attorney's advice, then, this is somewhat of a revised application is what I'm hearing. Yeah. Is that We have the siding issue, which is what's before us. We have these two other issues having to do with the pavement and the statue, and the discussion is to whether those are covered under the COA requirements right now. So, but what I'd like to do is open it up to the commission for any questions of Mr. Abernathy now that he's finished his presentation.
I have a few questions, Mr. Abernathy.
Yes, sir.
I see that you have decided to go with vinyl over wood. That's the horizontal wood that's been painted. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I don't know the right term, but it's horizontal white siding wood right now, correct?
Is there a choice? I mean, is there a reason you chose to go with a vinyl versus like a masonite plank or something like that? That would look similar to what you have existing?
I think vinyl is going to give me better value on the property and less maintenance responsibilities.
Have you, you did a lot of research. Are you in the building business or you're a contractor?
Sir. No, I'm not.
Are you self-performing this work?
Oh, I'll contract it out.
Have you selected a contractor or designer or something like that to help you?
Not yet. Yeah, well, I have talked to Window World.
So you've had a contractor come out and trying to give you some ideas of pricing or something like that?
Yeah, but what's that got to do with...
No, I'm just trying to get an understanding of how...
I don't understand what that's got to do with my application.
Well, it has a lot to do with...
You're intruding into my personal
affairs. Well, no, I'm asking questions.
I just want to know if the pale blue siding, I think, is appropriate to get my certificate of approval. That's all that you need to be concerned about.
I understand, you know, but for me to understand why you were going this direction, we're here to make the approval. I'm just trying to get a little background information. You know, that was the only reason I was asking, because if you had selected a contractor, you know, I'm sure you've done your due diligence like you've done in everything else.
I don't think I would have contracted before I know if I'm going to be able to do it.
Just to get the budget pricing, for sure. You seem like a very smart man, and you would have got some budgetary pricing. But, you know, the other thing is, I'm struggling to understand why you feel like the vinyl shake in the blue color is going to fit into the harmonious balance of the historical area.
Well,
versus the way the white board is now, when you could have put a masonite plank that's very similar to be very hardy and last a lifetime.
I think I've seen that vinyl shape pattern in my travels throughout the town, but I can't quote chapter or verse about where it's been.
I understand that, but you know, to be consistent with the environment around you, your neighbors. It's a lot of difference between what you have and where you're going and changing the color. And if we follow the guidelines of the preservation area, that is substantial.
It sounds like you've already made up your mind, Commissioner.
No, I haven't made up my mind. I'm asking questions so I understand.
I've presented the evidence I've got. There's nothing else I can say. If you want to continue the hearing and I'll go get an expert on low country siding patterns and color, fine, we'll do it that way.
It's not about the low country, it's about this area here in this preservation committee and the people, when we make changes, how it fits into the existing environment around you.
Again, it sounds to me like you've made up your mind, but I
haven't made anything in my mind.
I've answered your question the best I can.
Well, I'm asking you questions so I can get further information.
I don't have anything else to say to you.
Okay, let's you know, just for the sake of moving this on, any other questions by the commission? I do have kind of a question and comment. There seems to be two issues related to the siding. One is the color and one is the materials. Could you address those separately in terms of your sense about what other B1 district properties may have? You know, both its vinyl and the blue. Are there any surrounding properties that have the vinyl siding, and are there any surrounding properties that have the color blue or something similar?
I'm not familiar with any Tar Heel blue exterior finishes in my immediate neighborhood. I can't comment on what's vinyl and what's what's not and what's wood, in my opinion, they all look the same when they're finished. You can drive by vinyl siding and it looks just as good as wood. I don't think there's any difference there. It's not shiny linoleum. It's replaced, you know, that was a big replacement for stucco back when stucco was creating all of its problems. And I've driven by houses where I thought it was wood and ended up being siding. So I think it's very consistent with wood products in terms of its appearance. But no, I can't say that there's any light blue around me, but that doesn't change the fact that I think it's consistent with a coastal, an East Coast beach community for the time period that you've stated in the design standards, which is the 50s and the 70s. I think it's entirely appropriate for that. I don't think it's out of place at all.
Okay. I just have one more question, and that's when the color palette that you provided us, historic paint colors of Charleston, I noticed that these are for ceilings, that the blue is for ceilings, not for exteriors. And you look at the haint blue, and the description in terms of the Gula culture and that sort of thing is that this is a ceiling color, not an exterior color. And then when you have the pictures, I believe the haint blue right at the very beginning, it shows a ceiling for a porch.
I'm referring to my other exhibit where it talks about blue being a classic color scheme for coastal community.
Okay.
Beach towns.
How old is the house?
35 years old.
How many years has it been white?
I bought it recently. I don't know its history.
So it probably has been white for 35 years?
I don't make that assumption. My answer was, I don't know.
Okay.
Other questions? We have some silent members here.
The statue.
Nice, isn't it?
I think it'll add an ambiance to the town.
Thank you, Council. I'm a commission member.
I've got a couple questions having to do with the other two issues, the statue and... I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I'd just like to ask you, I'm very interested. I've also taken some carriage rides in Wilmington. They're very, very fun to go on. And you mentioned that the carriage driver is the one that told you that birds don't like the blue color. Does he have any background in that area, or is this just another carriage story? Excuse me, I'm not done with my question.
In that particular case, that tour operator was actually the owner of that livery service. So he's been doing it ever since I've been in the Cape Fear area, which is starting in 1992, before Beth was even born, before Gertrude was born.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's for the livery service, but does he have any experience with the actual birds and knowledge other than
that? I didn't ask him if he had any experience. I think he based it on, I don't know what he based it on.
Okay, he tells stories throughout the entire ride, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many black asphalt driveways are in the area?
None that I know of.
But how many statues are in the area?
I don't know. None in the front yard.
I probably... You know, would assume that it's probably none in the historic area.
Again, commission member, I don't deal in assumptions. You may, but I don't. I don't know.
Okay. Just trying to to understand.
Okay. Are there any other, before we hear the other witnesses or presenters, any other? Well, thank you, Mr. Abernathy.
You're welcome.
That was, and we may have some additional questions, you know, as things kind of develop. So I think probably most appropriate is we have one that is a neighbor who's fairly close, and that is
Lucinda.
The Lucinda Cindy.
Well, that will be Gertrude is next.
You just want to generally announce if anybody...
Okay. Is there anybody in opposite? Well, first let me ask, is there anybody in support of Mr. Abernathy's application?
Nope.
Seeing none?
I have a comment. Again, keeping in mind that acting beyond the scope of your authority or violating my constitutional rights entitles me to attorney's fees, if it ever comes to that, it sounds to me like you all have already made up your mind. I just want the record to reflect that. I think I think you all are biased towards my application. Before you've even heard the entire presentation of evidence and testimony, so I want the record, and I want that court reporter to note that.
Well, that's certainly fine. I mean, this is a public hearing, and we do have a recording, so that you certainly have the right to that, and I believe that has been recorded.
I don't think it's fine to use your words, and it's not a public hearing. It's a quasi-judicial.
It's a quasi-judicial, but it is an open hearing. So, you know.
I disagree with that as well. It's only open to the parties being the applicant and those who are standing.
Well, I think what I'm saying open, it is recorded. So you can be assured that everything that's being stated right now is being recorded by the court reporter.
I'm happy we could get down to the precise information you were trying to communicate.
Okay. All right. Witnesses in opposition, we have two. I just want to make sure that nobody else is here. We have the two. We have Lucinda and we have Gertrude. And I don't know which one would like to go first. All right. That's Gertrude.
Gertrude Polly Walk.
And could you state again your name and then your residence?
Yep. I'm Gertrude Polly Walk. I live at 7400 Righteous Way. I came here tonight and I've been listening and I'm very disgusted with one of your board members. Mr. June Dukin has a conflict of interest, and he needs to recuse himself. The applicant has commissioned Earl Gray to recreate a replica of Virginia Dare. Jim Dukin's wife, as some of you know, owns the local gallery in downtown Fury Beach in our historic district. She is having a show featuring Earl Gray in August later this year. If the applicant is allowed to put this statue in the yard, then it will gain sales at Jim Dukin's.
Point of order,
wife.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Point of order.
Okay.
I don't have to listen to this. This is a small town. A lot that comes in front of us, we know the people that are involved. My wife has jobs that are separate from mine. She has the store and she runs the store. I have nothing to do with that. I've been elected for this board to make decisions, and I demand to be allowed to vote.
Okay. Let me. This is certainly a legal issue regarding conflict of interest, so I'm going to...
Didn't even let me finish.
Well, I think you're raising an important issue. But before we go further, I'd like the advice of our attorney.
Why don't I get to finish what I'm even saying?
Okay, but... Okay, so you're providing evidence now, not regarding the COA, but conflict of interest. So let's, if you're not finished with that, go ahead and finish your conflict of interest, and then I'm going to ask the attorney as to what the proper procedure is for this before we get into talking about the COA application. So go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Thank you. So when the statue goes in the front yard, and everyone's going to love it, it's going to create an increase of sales at her shop, which Jim Dukin will profit from. So he needs to do the right thing tonight and recuse himself from the meeting. Mm-hmm. And you guys letting him sit on this board is going to be a lawsuit waiting to happen. Thank you.
Okay.
Another point of order.
Okay, wait, no, let me ask, since this is raised an important issue, let me ask the attorney for advice on this, and then we'll come to your point of order.
Well,
if that's okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I would say, let's see, speaking to you as the attorney, not as Mr. Abernathy, the easiest way out is to see if Mr. Dukin will recuse himself. So let's start there and take it from there.
Okay, so question. It, will you recuse yourself?
Absolutely not. There's okay. No reason.
All right.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
The next thing I would do, Chairman, is rather than tell you what you should do is to refer you to Chapter 12's applicable provisions and the ethics policy that was just previously adopted by Town Council.
That was sent to all of us, too, mm-hmm. which I didn't print off. So.
And it may be that somebody else on the commission has something to say.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Based on the perceived conflict, I like the motion that we have Mr. Dukin recuse from the remainder of this discussion.
Now, as the advisory attorney, I will say that is certainly covered, that procedure is certainly covered in the regulations and in the ethics policy. There's been a motion, and the majority vote on that motion will determine whether Mr. Dugan is recused or not.
Well, it's more, but, you know, there has been a motion. There has to be a second on that motion.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Well, there has been a motion first, and then the discussion occurs after the second.
My wife's business brings a lot of tax dollars.
Okay, let's do this properly, and we'll have a discussion if there's a second to that motion. There has to be a second to the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, there has been a second. Now, Mr. Dugan, go ahead and make your point of order now. This is
my wife brings a lot of taxes into the town of Curie Beach. She also has, with people visiting the store, they go to the pier and a lot of other places and spend a lot of money. I don't have anything to do with that. It's not my business. So I feel that it's perfectly okay for me to vote on this issue.
Okay.
And if you don't like it, I'll take it to council.
Okay, yes.
We do have an ethics policy that would prohibit Commissioner Dugan from participating in this hearing because he is a direct relation to his wife, who would benefit from a positive vote by us to approve that statue. And based upon our ethics policy, I feel like he's just prohibited in participating in this portion of the hearing.
You want to piss my wife off?
All right. I think it's appropriate. Looking at the ethics resolution that was just passed by council, it says, members of the town's appointed boards, commissions, and committee shall not vote on any advisory or legislative decision under the town code where the outcome of a matter being considered is reasonably likely to have a direct, substantial, or readily identifiable financial impact on the member. Okay, and then the rest of it has to do with association of the applicant, which isn't applicable here. That's what the, and for quasi-judicial hearings, above that, not in decisions, conflict of interest means a conflict or the appearance of a conflict between the private interest and the official responsibilities of the town official or employee. And I think those are the two key issues that I see in this ethics resolution right here. So, we're still in discussion, and this is a motion to recuse Mr. Dugan. So is there further discussion on that before we take a vote? And we are required to take a vote because this is motion seconded. Okay, let's go ahead and take a vote on this motion. Are six of us going to vote? All six of us? Okay, so
that missing one, yeah.
We're missing one. Okay. All right, so this is in favor. The motion is to have Mr. Dugan recuse himself. It's been motioned and seconded. Let's do a hand. All in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, opposed? Okay, so it did pass.
This.
Well, I like your wife's place. So, all right. So once you're recused, I guess
he needs to get down and sit in the gallery.
That's right. Yeah, you have to get down and sit in the gallery.
No.
It's
Sergeant of Arms. Is there a Sergeant of Arms here?
Come down, these little people down here.
I guess you have to do that.
And you call Chief Bowles. He cannot make any comments.
Yeah, that's what I was. Once you're recused, you have to.
You're lucky.
Truly recuse. So.
I need the meeting early.
You have a chance to ask Ms. Pollywog some questions too, right? When she made a statement.
Well.
She's a sworn in witness. At the time she was presenting, you could have brought. Them.
Yeah, we could have.
I had a question.
Oops.
Yeah,
Ms. Pollywog, will you please come back up and?
I'd love to.
Okay. Right now, your presentation had to do with the recusing of Mr. Dugan, and I believe one of the commissioners does have a question here. So.
I think that you have a heartburn over the statue, right?
No, I like the statue.
You like the statue? Does it fit into the harmonious environment?
Not at all.
Okay.
Well, let me. Okay.
I'm going to object to that question. She's not here. She presented an issue on a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm.
Right. I was going to ask if she had any more to say about the COA application.
No, I just wanted to protect the town from any people.
Okay.
Thanks for the clarification.
All right. Next is Lucinda. Again, name and address. Thank you.
My name is Lucinda Sinder, and I live at 127 Fantasy Lane. Two houses down from this man who is trying to tear up our town. Let me tell you something. How are y'all tonight? He has parties all the time. I like basketball as much as the next person. My team is better, but it's okay. He can have parties too. But his parties get loud, and there's so much ruckus, my cats cannot sleep. I mean, they just meow for hours. Anyway, if you let him paint his house this ridiculous, horrible blue color, first of all, let me just remind y'all, we are in Cary Beach, North Carolina, 28449. We are not in Charleston. And if y'all let him paint his house, all the property values for miles around are going to go down, not to mention the safety issues from all the drunk drivers leaving his ruckus parties that he has. And, I mean, somebody's going to remember one of my cats. It's just ridiculous. And poor Beth and her kid, I mean, if she's out pushing him in the stroller, I mean, there's no telling. He's going to be so sidetracked by that statue with these bare breasts. And she's going to be trying to explain that she's not going to see the drunk drivers coming by. It's just, it's too much. Anyway, I actually have expert information for you. Can I approach and bring it to you?
Sure. Be fine.
Let me find it amongst all this stuff we handed out. Taking up the whole night. Okay. This is an affidavit from Mr. William Sherwins.
So this will be Exhibit C.
Mr. William Sherwins.
Now, this would be entered as a formal exhibit. Okay, so this will be entered as Exhibit C.
Put it in the record.
I want it in the record.
Well, if we use it, it has to be.
19. Because you had so many papers. This states that he is an adult resident of Durham County, North Carolina, and he is competent to provide this information, this sworn testimony, making this a legal document, which is based on his own, very own, personal and professional knowledge for the past 20 years. That's a long time. That's two decades. He has continuously, the whole time, not taken any breaks, owned and operated at that same location, a paint store. And the location of that store is exactly halfway between the town of Chapel Hill and the city of Durham. And he services the customers from both of those municipalities. Both. Equally. Both. Because he's in the middle. And based on his 20 years of experience in operating that store, he sells so much more pale blue paint, meaning Tar Heel blue, and exterior paint, then exterior paint in my color, deep blue. And he has been selling that product. He said selling that product as he does to the fans of Chapel Hill and Duke basketball. They often engage in good-natured trash talk with their customers. And that banter often serves to disclose which of the two schools the customers support. So basically, he's been taking surveys all these years. 20 years of surveying somebody, that's a lot of knowledge. And, I mean, based on that extensive history, I mean, two decades, people, two decades of history a pale blue exterior paint sells compared to the sale of the dark blue, and based on his extensive conversation with all these fans, just imagine, millions of fans, and this man, he owns a big house, he's made a lot of money, that's a lot of fans, and of those two teams, I mean, he's in the opinion that there are significantly more Tar Heel fans than Blue Devil fans in that area of North Carolina. So that should tell you right there that if he paints his house blue, there's going to be a lot of people coming to his house because he's going to have a lot of parties. My parties are quiet. It's just me and my cat. But it gets loud in his house. So I strongly suggest y'all don't let him paint that house blue.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
I have a question for Ms. Cinder.
Just a moment, but you know, you will have a chance. You're Mr. Abernathy now, right?
That's correct.
Okay. You'll have a chance to ask questions after the commission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, right now I'd like to have any commission members, if there's any questions of Lucinda there. Nope. Okay. So, again, this is an opportunity. Mr. Abernathy, you do have an opportunity to... ask questions or actually comment too. You can rebut.
I have one question. Where is William Sherwin's tonight?
Well, Mr. William Sherwin's tonight is at his paint store because he had a whole other shipment of blues coming.
We're talking all those Tar Heel fans.
And he had to be here to unload the truck. He said he was sorry he couldn't be here tonight, but if this gets postponed, he was happy to show up.
Are you asking for a continuance to have your expert?
No, I'm not, because I have his gospel word right here on this legal document.
20 years worth.
20 years worth of knowledge on this one paper. In one sheet. He managed to get it in one sheet. That means something these days.
All right, well, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. All right. I guess the next item is I have to summarize the evidence. Exhibits admitted into the record and key points made in testimony.
Just for the record, I don't have a rebuttal.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. And then we'll have a discussion. It looks like our discussion by the council or the commission is going to occur after I summarize the evidence.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
You summarize the evidence and I'll hand out the decision worksheet.
Okay. All right, so the evidence, and this is for the record being recorded, is that we have an applicant, Mr. Abernathy, who is proposing to replace his siding, his wood siding, with vinyl siding with a, was it hail blue color, I believe it is?
Paint.
Paint blue, the
paint
blue.
Paint.
And so as provided in evidence and put in as exhibits are the historic paint colors of Charleston. We also have, as put into exhibit, four beautiful beach house color schemes to inspire and refresh by cottage and bungalow. And then also an exhibit of a similar color, noting that it's not in the historic district. And according to the evidence provided is that Mr. Abernathy feels that this is consistent with the COA requirements and the design standards for the historic district. In addition, we also have provided into evidence three other things. One is that an asphalt, and he has noted that although this is not part of the formal COA application, it is of consideration he feels that this is not part of the design standards and should not be part of the application, but there is a discussion as to whether we should look at this. In addition, we also have a statue of Virginia Dare, both front and back pictures, and that is what has been provided in the evidence by the applicant. In addition, we have had a presentation by Miss Gertrude Pollywog about a conflict of interest, and there was a vote to recuse one of our members, and that did pass. So we do have five members of the board right now. In addition, we had a presentation by Lucinda Cindy. Cinda?
Yes.
Cinder. Cinder. Cinder, okay.
At
127
Fantasy
Line.
Yes.
And I will comment right now. I don't think Ms. Cinder has standing to present her opposition to my case. That's my viewpoint.
I do.
I would say that she has standing because she is a neighbor. Okay, let me talk. I think that she has standing. Now, whether she has presented expert testimony is a different issue, but I believe that she does have standing.
You think she has shown that she's going to suffer special damages?
I think standing, that's the testimony, but I think standing as a neighbor, that she does have standing because she is a neighbor, but her testimony is subject to the discussion, but it's my belief that she does have standing as a neighbor. But anyway, her testimony and presented as an exhibit is Exhibit C, which is an affidavit from Mr. William Sherwins, and again,
not Sherwin-Williams.
Sherwin-Williams, okay.
That's William Sherwin.
It's William Sherwins. And again, there are 6 points on this affidavit, and again, we'll discuss as to whether this is appropriate expert testimony or not. But and that is submitted as Exhibit C. So I believe that's my summary of evidence and exhibits entered into record and key points made in the testimony.
This is just the town attorney approaching.
Just the attorney.
Oh, gee, I was going to give Mr. Dugan one, but I guess that's not necessary. Again, you get one of these each time we have a hearing.
Now, you have a number of points here. Is this, can we discuss it, or do we individually make our comments on this?
I don't care how you want to reach a consensus on each of these points, not a vote on each of these points, but a consensus through open discussion. Look, you're charged with determining findings of fact, and that's what this worksheet is. Each one is a proposed finding of fact that you're either going to, by reaching a consensus, agree with or disagree with. So you have to openly discuss these matters. And when each time you make a finding of fact, one way or another, you're going to have to list the evidence that supports it, the evidence that you summarize.
Okay. All right. So I think it's appropriate then that we have an open discussion on each one of these points. The first point is materials, color, and appearance of the proposed re-siding of the property's residential structure are or are not consistent or harmonious with other exterior features within the overlay district in terms of scale, design, and color. And again, as I think I mentioned, there's two issues. There's a material issue and there's a color issue. So,
yes.
You know, let's go ahead and open that up for discussion by our seated members. And again, Mr. Dugan, you know, you unfortunately cannot participate in this discussion.
They're at the end of this.
I think the intention is to keep the structure looking as it is today. You know, I know the wood rotted and other materials are available, but it's an extreme change to the vinyl shakes, and it's going to take away from the look it has today. So it's not in consistent and harmonious with the other features or the area.
Do you have any comments about the color?
It appears like the color is a dramatic change, and I think the color would not be appropriate.
Okay. Let's go ahead and start down.
So,
Brian.
And Jim, this is clarification for me before I say this. So we are basing everything on the evidence presented here, not in any personal knowledge that we may have outside.
That's correct.
And in light of that, there's been, along with the application, no evidence presented that would indicate that the materials used or the color would be consistent with the neighborhood.
Now, as a teaching point, let's stop for a minute. What else do you think the applicant could have done?
Have pictures of properties in the downtown community. I mean, clearly. I mean, not Charleston, but the downtown community. Okay. Catherine, any?
Well, did you ask me a question? Did you state your opinion on this finding?
Yeah, that the application lacked any evidence to indicate that there would be harmony in both materials and colors.
So your position on number one is are not correct.
I think.
Let's hear from the rest of the members.
Okay, and is that's true of not only the materials but also the color, in your opinion? Okay.
I'm going to disagree. I think that the proposed changes to the exterior, while they're different from what exists right now, both the color and the look of those shape shingles, although they are in vinyl, I think Mr. Abernathy said it correctly when he said from the street you can't tell if it's wood or not. So I do think that both the color and the material are harmonious with the surrounding area. And so I would say that we should approve on that point.
Okay. Comments?
I think that Mr. Abernathy stated that the existing was horizontal wood planks in going to a shape type, it's noticeable. And that was some of the questions I asked him. So I think that not only the color, but just the style of that would be dramatic change from the way it is today.
But so your opinion on number one is R not?
Yes.
R not.
Yeah. So
we
had
two R
nots and 1-4 so far.
Well, my opinion on both of them also is that they are not. The blue definitely is not white, and the shake look is definitely different than the solid wood look. So I'm a definite R not.
Now, just a teaching point, your comments make it sound like because the proposed changes are not equal to what's there, it's an R not. But again, the test is broader than that. Is it consistent with the look and feel of the neighborhood?
Although it's very different from what the house looks like currently, it won't make the house look so different from the surrounding houses in the area.
But he didn't provide any evidence of the surrounding houses in the area.
Say that again, Joe, what?
He provided no evidence of the surrounding houses in the area. He spoke about Charleston, Raleigh, Durham.
Yeah, but we live here.
Yeah, you were Raleigh, Durham.
I mean, we know what
that is. But we're not supposed to. That was the point that I was trying to make earlier. I think we're supposed to be limited to the discussion at the hearing.
Well, I don't think you can avoid the common knowledge that you have. It's how you employ it. For example, each finding of fact, you have to list the evidence that supports it. You wouldn't, if you had an example, maybe it's not a good example, but let's say most of you felt that it was consistent of the look and feel of the neighborhood, you might be relying on your personal knowledge to help you reach that decision, but you still need to list the evidence that supports it, and personal knowledge would not be listed. But I don't think you can escape the personal knowledge.
Well, let me kind of give my opinion, and I would have to agree with Brian that, you know, when we get this application, I don't believe we are allowed to go do our own research on this. So I have not driven around the historic district specifically looking at colors. I do have some general knowledge, but that's general knowledge. I don't have specific knowledge about either sidings or color. And since we have to make a decision based upon what has been presented, it's my feeling that there's been nothing presented to show whether it's consistent either in materials or color to the historic district, because one, I haven't driven around specifically to look at it because we're not supposed to do that, and we are supposed to make a decision based upon what has been presented to us. So given that we have absolutely no evidence about whether it's consistent with the historic district, we may have evidence that's consistent with Charleston, but not with the historic district, I would have to say no based upon the evidence presented.
Consensus on number one is R not, correct?
That, well, it's not complete consensus, but...
Okay.
It's 4-1, yeah. I mean, to me, a consensus. Remember, I'm from a university. Consensus, we all hug each other afterwards. And we feel,
now,
yes.
Now, what evidence would you list in support of this finding? My opinion would be that the applicant didn't present any evidence.
That would be my opinion, too, is that there's no evidence presented specifically related to the COA application in the town of Kiri Beach in the historic district.
All right, let's go to number two.
The proposed pavement and ceiling of the property's driveway is or is not subject to KBC,
the downtown
design guidelines. This finding is supported by the following evidence. Okay, so we have the driveway, and we do have an exhibit and a picture. It is the opinion of Mr. Abernathy that this is not covered under the Kiri Beach design guidelines for the downtown.
It's not just the design guidelines. Downtown reservation, district zoning regulations.
Right, the zoning regulations, right.
And it all centers on changes to exterior features.
Right.
I did ask Mr. Abernathy if there was other homes around.
Well, this is not, you haven't gotten to whether it's consistent yet.
Yeah. You know, we can't discuss the merits yet. We have to discuss whether it's even covered under the...
Within the scope.
So, let's go ahead and talk about, is it covered under the scope? Is the pavement of... I don't believe it is covered under the scope, but maybe you've got it in front of you, so...
I don't see where it's covered.
Well, where we have it in the required approvals and the design standards, it does state that a COA is required for the erection, restoration, all of that for a building structure, and then and other pertinent features, above ground utility structure or any other type of outdoor. Where did I see it? Including masonry walls, fences, light fixtures, steps, pavement, or other pertinent features. So the driveway would be included.
If it would be considered the pavement, because everything would be above ground. Everything you've identified is above ground or appurtenances to buildings. And whether the pavement is an above ground, or whether the asphalt driveway is an above ground characteristic.
What is pavement? Pavement is what you walk and drive on.
Pavement would seem to be on the ground. Yeah, so... any other discussion as to whether
question if this should be part of the discussion because it wasn't part of the original application that came before us?
I think the answer to that is, as I told Chairman before, if you arbitrarily don't consider it up or down, I think you risk a possible, and I'm not going to take the time to determine whether somebody that's not here can appeal it, but let's just say there is a risk of somebody totally opposed to the driveway and totally opposed to the statute, regardless of whether they're here or not, just for the sake of discussion, of going forward with an, you don't consider it, you either grant the blue or not the blue. But you don't even consider the driveway and the statute. So somebody like Lucinda Cinder is going to go to court because you didn't consider it. Now that driveway is asphalted over and that statute's in the front yard. And if those things are covered by COA, then you've made a very bad mistake and you're going to pay the price probably that judicial review. So the safer course is to deliberate whether it is within the scope or not rather than simply ignoring it completely. Right.
No, and I think that's what we're doing is we're discussing whether it's in the scope, and if we have a consensus that it's in the scope, then we have to say does it satisfy the design guidelines?
To use a legal term, I think the applicant opened the door for you all to make that determination because he brought it forward. If he truly felt, he should have kept his mouth shut. you wouldn't have known about it. Then it would be up to code enforcement whether it did or did not.
This is just asking our attorney, would it be reasonable to suggest to the applicant that he come back with an application regarding the driveway and the statue?
We have to decide whether it's covered or not. I mean, that's been the door that's been opened, so before we can make any...
I thought it was covered because...
If you decide that it is covered, then if you are... It would end up being, by legal fiction, an amended application, even though it's not a new one, or it's just amended by the operation of law in this case.
Jim, isn't this like a two-tier kind of thing, though? I mean, doesn't minor work fall under 1508.120?
But it's not minor work.
No, I'm saying it does, right? So
minor work is part of the overlay district regulations, yes. Yeah.
So it's one, is it part of that? And then secondly, is it minor versus major?
Well, but John's going to make that determination early on. If it's minor, you'll never see it.
But this has never even come to John. Yeah. So this hasn't even come to John.
It came to John, but it doesn't meet the definition of minor.
Okay.
So it's automatically major. And John would have put on the application that it's not minor and passed it on to you after reviewing.
Okay, so let's get consensus as to whether it's subject to KBC 1508.120. I would say it is covered. As soon as I see the word pavement in there, pavement represents an on-ground type of thing. I would argue, at least it's my opinion, that the asphalt driveway would be covered under a COA application.
I agree.
Yes.
Okay, so again, raise our hands. Does everybody agree with that? Okay. So,
the evidence that you would cite in support of that would be the regulation.
Is the regulation that Kathleen read.
3.1.
All
right, then go to 3.
Okay, so it is subject. Although we formally do not have an application, I guess, you know, we can still talk about this. So the question is it consistent with exterior features? Again, I would say there's been no evidence presented. Very exactly the same issue.
Well, other than the picture.
Other than the picture.
What it would be, it's not consistent with the regulation for the area.
And again, there's been no evidence presented as to whether it's harmonious or consistent.
True.
I have a question. I'm sorry, but this is a train. You guys should know whether it's harmonious or not, because this is the historic district that you guys, I mean, in my opinion, I would think that, I mean, you guys need, like, you guys know your historic district.
Yeah.
So if you're saying there's no evidence presented that it's harmonious, you know whether it's harmonious or not, right? I mean, do we need to prepare people that are applying for these applications that they need to come in here with evidence?
It's a close call because, number one, don't forget, council has the same test when considering a special use permit. Point one, whether it's consistent with the neighborhood. Point two, I've been in hearings where the applicant will reference other features in the neighborhood. So I guess in that sense, either by testimony or even by documentary exhibits, they're making that case. But I've also been in plenty of hearings where council is simply making that decision based on whether it's consistent or not. And I think it's kind of a delicate line. About whether they have to present evidence or not. For example, if somebody, there may be paint schemes that are consistent with the, I think it's too pat to say, well, there's no evidence of any other siding that looks like that, therefore we can't conclude that it's consistent. I think that's a little bit too pat. I think But again, it's a difficult thing because you don't want to. I think there's a little bit of personal knowledge involved. It's just, I don't think we can avoid that. I think if you say that, all right, we got this driveway, but he hasn't given us any other pictures of any other driveways for us to determine whether it's good or bad, I think that's just a little bit too simplistic.
Well, this is, again, from a training point of view, I'm still working on what you told us before, is that we can't do any outside research.
No.
And I think
that's research, though. Well, that is knowledge of the district that you're trying, you've been tasked to preserve.
Right. But I remember we had this discussion, and I mean, I thought it was fairly plain by the attorney during our training that we cannot do individually go drive around and look at things.
No, but you should know, as the chairman of the historic.
Oh no, I mean, I'm.
What your historic.
I'm very familiar, but honestly.
Right. I'm just saying, if Jeb Lowe comes in off the street and you say, "Oh, sorry, we're not going to approve this because you didn't prove that it is consistent."
I can't remember if there's light blue downtown.
I think a lot of this would be covered in the summary from staff. Staff would, if the application was lacking those materials, it could be that the staff summary would have, you know, from four corners, pictures of the surrounding neighborhood.
Yeah, which is what I would expect. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
then you would have that.
Yeah, it is.
In which case, can we go back to item number one? Because that was what Mandy is saying is the point that I was making, that even though it's a change in color of this particular property, it's still harmonious with the surrounding area.
And again, as I alluded to in the presentation, I think it's kind of hard to conclusively prove that one way or another as the applicant. So don't forget, a quasi-judicial decision, unlike an administrative decision or a development approval decision or a legislative decision, which is an excellent example of that, the hallmark of a quasi-judicial decision is discretion on your part. You get a set of standards, but it's up to you. You have the ability to, with your discretion, even if you don't have any evidence of vinyl shakes instead of horizontal wood, you still have the authority in your discretion to determine whether that's harmonious or not. And it could be the first example of that. Maybe there is no other vinyl siding in that neighborhood, but that doesn't mean by itself that it's unharmonious.
Well, just how I made my decision was, I asked him the questions, was it wood, horizontal? He said yes. He was going with the shake, which is totally different than that wood horizontal siding.
If it had
been white, it'd been a harder decision. If he was going white to white, but if he had put vinyl and it looked like the existing wood, I probably couldn't say anything about it.
But I think the point is that it's not for him to keep the same color. It's for him to, if he wants to change the color, he can change it to a color that is harmonious with the surrounding area.
There was no evidence to, that anything he told me was no evidence to make me feel that was the...
But this is the point that Mandy's making, is that just from our general knowledge, would we know that this color would be harmonious?
Well, maybe
without doing our own research.
But he didn't tell me anything to change my mind.
I just think we're going to end up, if that's the basis that we're going with, well, you didn't show us any reason why we should give it to you, then we're going to end up in a lawsuit. First case out.
Well,
they're going to say, don't you know your
district? Let me, okay, this is a training exercise.
I'm not going to come in and tell you what color the houses are.
Well, which one? Because this is a training exercise, and this is very, very good.
Right.
Because, I mean, if there's anything that's come out of this discussion, is that if anybody does apply for a COA, is that staff should make it clear to them that they need to bring in evidence, photographs
and
of the surrounding community.
Staff should also provide you with evidence.
Right, right. But I think that's one of the key things that has come out of this, is that you know, since we're all very sensitive about the legal implications, that was made quite clear by Mr. Abernathy's presentation, as well as our training about lawsuits and taking it to, you know, higher ups and that sort of thing, is I think that we're going to always kind of go back on the evidence that's presented. I think that's kind of the natural process that we're going to do because we're concerned about that rather than us driving around. So I think if there's anything that's come out of this, it's the need to make sure that whoever's presenting understands the nature that they have to present, that is harmonious and consistent with the neighborhood through photographs or expert testimony or whatever might be appropriate.
Again, that's one of the things that he didn't present anything.
I still think that you're tasked with knowing your area.
Well, I think we all know the area, and I would vote differently, quite frankly.
I just don't think it's fair to tell someone, well, you didn't present me evidence, so you're not going to get approval.
So, but that's actually how, and correct me, I've testified probably 40 times in court, and that's exactly how court works. I mean, the evidence has got to be presented, or you can't make decisions based upon anything other than the evidence that's being presented. And again, correct me if I'm wrong.
I think you both were raising good points. For example, if somebody came in and said, I want to paint my house orange, you're going to know from the get-go that's not harmonious, but you're basing
or stripes or things like that.
You're basing that on your personal knowledge, not on the fact that there's no other orange house in that neighborhood. So I'd probably need to look at the case law about discretion under a consistent harmonious test. I think I'll probably find both sides, case law that supports both sides.
Okay.
I do think there is something to be said for the knowledge that you have of the district that you're regulating.
Okay. So based upon that, do we want to revisit? I know this is running long, but do we want to revisit number one discussion? Because...
No, I think we've scored it.
We scored it. Okay, all right.
Let's go to number four.
Okay, let's go to number four, the statue. That's the interesting one.
Can you get him in bulk?
The statue. Now, whether it is subject to the KBC, and I, looking at this, I believe that it would be, because it is a structure. Now the question is whether the definition of the structure in our is something that requires a building permit. This wouldn't require a building permit. John, would this require a building permit? A statue?
Replacing the signing?
No, the statue.
A statue would not require a building permit. Okay.
Unless they put it on a base.
Or the door.
Well, again, we can go back to 3.1, and this statue is not an appurtenance to the structure.
Right.
So I, for that reason, I would say that it's not subject to...
I think the structure it's talking about is the building, building structure. Not...
Right. It's just yard art. Yeah. Every grandma's got one. It's like a bird bath.
All right, so looking at a quick read, I don't think this is covered under the COA. Again,
I would have to disagree.
Okay. What's your argument there?
It would be like if you were to put a sign or anything in your yard that would have, it would project something out. I view it like that, not just as it's a piece of artwork. It's something you put in your yard that probably is not going to be... it's going to be questionable.
But how about is it the questionability of the art or is it the art that's the issue? Because somebody could put a wind vane in the yard and I'm not sure if that would bother us a whole lot.
A 6-foot something there, you know, it's probably a pretty tall statue it looks. I can't really tell the size, but gauging by the tree, it's a pretty sizable piece of art. And I think that it would fall into the guidelines.
Nobody ever asked the size of the statue.
I'm going by the size of the tree behind it.
That may not be the statue.
He said it was. I'm taking his word.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
I did say exact replica.
Exact replica, okay, which is... all right, since, you know, going back into our mock hearing here...
What's the consensus on four? Is not.
My personal opinion is I don't think this is covered under the existing.
Let's hear from the rest of the commission members. You say no.
I say no.
Tony says yes.
I say no.
No.
Two no's.
I'm a no. I haven't seen anything that puts it
I'm
in.
I'm struggling here too, but yeah. I would have to say no.
So the consensus is it's not covered.
So the I get my statue.
You get your statue under the existing regulations.
I'm going to council. No, I'm going to council.
Well.
No, you're going to court.
I'm going. Oh, yes. I'm going to council and court.
Council can't do it.
I'm going.
All right. So so number five is not applicable. So let's have a motion based on the findings of fact, whether to grant or deny the application.
Okay, the findings of fact. Do I have to list all the findings?
No,
of fact?
We just did that.
Yeah, we just did that. Okay. Okay, so the application, which is the siding and the color, and in addition, the application has...
And the driveway.
And the driveway. And the statue's not covered, so we consider the driveway covered. Is there a motion... Now, I assume this would be a motion, too, right? A vote?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so is there a motion to deny the application?
I make the motion.
Okay, it's been motioned, seconded.
Second.
Are there any further discussions? Okay, hearing none, let's go ahead and take a vote. All in favor of the motion to deny the application, raise your hand. Okay, and against? All right.
Fine. Now, Chairman.
Oh, I won!
Chairman, close the meeting.
All right, so unless there's any further discussions or the hearing, is there a motion to close the hearing? Oh.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, second it?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, some follow-up comments. Number one, did anybody see anything interesting about my name? Charles O. Abernathy.
COA, yeah, COA, there you go.
Did anybody notice anything interesting about William Sherwin's affidavit?
It wasn't signed. It was electronic.
Well, not yet.
Well,
but
he's not an expert. You know, I mean, that's... I mean, is there asking about
I guess we should have considered that, but yeah.
No, I wouldn't consider him expert in this particular case.
How closely
case.
Did you read that affidavit?
I read it.
From top to bottom.
Nothing to do with us.
That's right, not close enough. You missed the right field that you could plow.
Mm-hmm. What? How did you ever?
Who notarized it?
She did.
She notarized it.
Now look, I'm going to make a teaching point about that. You need to read these things carefully. Don't flip over what you think is standard. Because there could have been a wealth of questions there. What's going on between Lucinda and Mr. Sherwin?
Yeah.
You know, is she biased? Is he biased? Did they collude? Are they in a relationship with each other?
Yeah. I guess I didn't really read it that carefully because I wasn't going to consider it because he's not an expert.
I agree.
I mean,
it
so,
was so
there
baseless
was,
that I just didn't.
I mean, by the definition of an expert, we didn't need to go further.
I don't think there's ever a good excuse for not reading a legal document from top to bottom in a thorough fashion, whether you concluded it's worthless or not. I think you need to read all four corners. That's just my experience.
Now, by the way, just very quickly from this, since you raised the issue, if she is a formal notary public, can she actually sign it even though she's presenting? Okay.
But it depends on my relationship with him. It could be a conflict.
It could be a conflict. But your commission expired...
Day after she signed it.
Day after she signed it. Okay.
I was still
late
for 24 hours.
Yeah, I forgot I did that. Yeah, you're right. How did you think... I thought you all handled the conflict, correctly in the sense of having a motion and a majority vote. And if you look through Chapter 12 of the Code, there's an ethics policy set forth therein for decision-making bodies, and that's the provision that's operative. If somebody on the board objects, so you all handled that correctly. I think we all learned that it would be useful to have a little bit more information on where the dividing line is about presenting evidence in support of the application versus the test of whether it's consistent with the neighborhood. And I'll do some superficial homework on that and come back.
Let me ask a question, because in normal, what I would do is I would drive around the historic district. I mean, if I got this application probably today, I would have driven around the historic district and I would have checked to see what the colors and the materials are and stuff like that.
Because you're not going to get that information until the hearing.
So that's a, so you really do have to work on your personal.
The point I was trying to make, though, is that, well, we all live here. And just from my knowledge, that light blue is harmonious with many of the other houses in that district.
I think when I do my research, I'm going to find a little bit of both. And let me just find out how the courts deal with that and bring that back to you. Because I think both sides raise good points.
But I think more than anything, it would be a recommendation if we do get a COA or a special use permit, that the staff or whoever receives that really makes an effort saying that you need to present the evidence, and that might include photographs of the community and all that sort of thing.
Well, that's true.
I really think that came out of this.
I think the regs provide for a pre-application conference, but I think it's also just as important, just as professional, just as first class for staff to address that issue in their summary that will go in as an exhibit. I think that's part of what staff should be looking at as well. I see no problem with staff taking a picture on all four corners from the subject property to what that neighborhood looks like. Then you do have some evidence one way or another. But let's get on to the driveway and the statute.
Yeah.
You handled the driveway correctly, you made a mistake on the statute.
Do it.
And I'll tell you what the mistake is in a minute. But what it comes down to is you all need to be very familiar with all of Chapter 15, because the answer, you have responsibilities under 1508.120, but the answer to some of the issues that may come up under that section may be in a different part of Chapter 15. For example, Chapter 15, you're responsible under 1508.122K, review criteria for the downtown overlay district, you have to ensure that the exterior portions of the buildings and structures within that district are harmonious. Then, if you go to 1502.010, you get a definition of structures. Structure shall mean anything constructed or erected, and Tony got this, the use of which requires location on the land.
Oh, okay.
So that makes the statute a structure.
Yeah, I didn't understand. That's why I asked John about whether it needed a building permit, because I was thinking structures need building permits.
Yeah, and also the driveway is a structure because it's installed on the land.
Well, just from a safety perspective, you know, a statue like that, it had to be secured. John would have to make sure that it's not going to fall
even
over.
Even if the crane just dropped it, it's still a
Well, you can't up. You can't have it there with the risk of it falling over on a kid or something like that, or climbing on it.
Yeah, but my point is, even without those safeguards, it's still a structure.
Absolutely. But there's other things that go along with it that would prohibit, you know, that from being.
It's too bad we didn't have that, because I would have enjoyed the discussion as to whether it's harmonious or not.
Well, Lucinda's got a. You can still talk to her after the hearing. That's it. I think
I made the point, but it.
You had a conflict. You can't say anything. Sergeant of Arms.
No. He likes it because he stayed alive.
I thought you did a good job. Mayor, do you think you had a conflict?
Yes, we have a financial conflict. Nobody mentioned that. It was a financial conflict.
By definition, we have a conflict. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Sorry, Jim. Regarding the statue, when is the size of it? I mean, people put gnomes in their garden and all kinds of stuff.
Well, that's a good point, but I think if you're locating it on the land, it's a structure. I don't, it could be a little 6-inch statue, but you couldn't say that's inconsistent because it's so small.
I was thinking about, you talking about orange and stuff like that. You can go down the beachfront, you see every pastel color, mm-hmm. but it's not the beachfront you're talking about. You're talking about this little 6-block section, mm-hmm. right? So I thought you might say, there's blue houses all over the place, right?
Yeah, I just don't know if there's blue house in the historic district, to be honest. I mean, I'm pretty familiar with the historic district, but I can't tell you if there's a blue house in there.
By the way, that is haunting blue, and they do put it on the ceiling.
Yeah.
I have on my ceiling.
Yeah, I'm getting my house beside. It's going to be on my ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as a quick comment, when I was a council member in the city of Mission Viejo out in California, we had a similar incident to this statue. Somebody bought, and there's some big houses there. There's some mansion-type homes. And somebody decided they were going to put nude statues, about 20 of them, all around the thing and with appropriate painting for them being nude.
We do have one of those in Free Beach.
But with appropriate painting for...
Of the nether
regions? Yeah, the nether regions and things like that.
Mermaid.
We have a mermaid.
And so we had quite a debate, to say the least, and they actually had to pass a new law to deal with that. So.
Well, I hope you all found that.
No, it was extremely useful. My goodness. It means that we need to study better our own design guidelines.
I want to thank Mr. Dugan and Joe and particularly Beth. And let's have it. Let's hear it.
No, that was great.
That was pretty tough.
That was a tough one. So, all right. So, anyway, Mr. Dugan, you can come back. You haven't been excluded from the rest of the meeting here. He's still upset. Yeah, we are still in the agenda for the Historic Preservation Commission.
You need a motion to adjourn.
No, we have new business. We still have new business.
Is there any new business?
I'm going to ask. Since Mr. Dugan gets back, is no longer have a conflict. Next item on the agenda is new business. Is there any new business? Okay, hearing none. Is there a motion to adjourn?
A motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.